My guest is photographer Bruce Weber. He's best known for his sexually charged magazine ads for Calvin Klein underwear and Obsession fragrance. His non-fashion work was included in the 1987 Whitney Biennial. Weber's first film, Broken Noses, has its American premiere this week in New York. It's a documentary about Andy Minsker, a lightweight pro boxer and leader of a boxing club for boys. In 1983, Weber was on assignment for Interview Magazine shooting young Olympic hopefuls at the Colorado Sports Festival. It was through a photograph of a boxer named Nathan Hauser that he met Andy Minsker.
Nathan came down to where we were photographing, you know, and we said, well, what would you like to wear? And, you know, we have all these things, and there was like something that you put underneath something. It was sort of like a dance belt that dancers wear underneath their leotards. And he says, oh, I want to wear that. I have a great body. And we said, well, great, you know. And he put it on and we did the pictures and he didn't seem to mind. But then he went back to the Boxing Federation and they said, hey, why are you, you know, photographing boxers like this? That's really terrible, you know. And I said, why is it so terrible? You know, women have been showing their bodies for years. And they said, well, no, you don't understand. This is a sport and so forth and so on. And it was pretty amazing. We had to go in front of them and defend our photographs, defend the reason we were at the festival. And it was pretty wild, you know.
And then that's how Andy Minsker found you?
Well, at that point, we had just met Andy, and they told him that he couldn't come to the photo session, and he came.
What interested you in doing a film about young boxers?
Well, it's funny. I have a team, a crazy team that I go on the road with, and there's a hairdresser, and his name is Didier Milige, and Didier grew up in Paris, and he was a boxer. And DDA sort of got me and the rest of my buddies really, really interested in boxing. And so I really started photographing a lot of boxers, and I really loved their exhibitionistic quality in photographs. They were never afraid of the camera, you know, and they really felt that it was like a real special time for them, and it should be recorded. And I love that attitude, you know. I always felt that dancers had that same attitude.
You know, I almost think that there's a sexual haze over the whole film. The film is almost like a reverie about beautiful young male bodies. And you even have some romantic ballads playing in the background as the young boys train.
Well, it's funny. I really chose the jazz music that I did because I really felt that there's a sense of elegance to boxing and to a dedication of one's life and then to be just saying, oh, all these boys have really beautiful bodies. I mean, they're young kids, you know. I didn't really feel that at all, no.
I think of you as being one of the first fashion photographers to shoot men in very sexual poses. I'm thinking especially of the Calvin Klein underwear ads. And I'd like to ask you if you felt that you had to find a language for shooting men in really sexy poses. And what I mean by that is that women have always, in American popular culture, been shown as really sexual beings. And men have always been much more straightforward, you know, in ads, really like down to business. Did you feel like you had to find a different language?
No, I just sort of, you know, I was kind of like a real beachy kid, you know, and a lot of my friends were much more concerned with the way their bodies were than maybe I was, because I wasn't particularly a great athlete, you know. I was always like, you know, into art class and, you know, and looking at fashion magazines and listening to music, jazz particularly. And I really felt that the thing that I felt kind of crazy was I was just photographing my friends or people I knew, you know, and they had a different sensibility about their body than I did. And I felt that maybe it was about time for men to be able to be photographed. I mean, in a certain way. I mean, I love it, you know, like if a woman comes up to me and she goes, oh, who's that guy in that picture, you know? And sometimes the guy has on a suit and a tie. I really like it that she finds that man attractive and that women can say, hey, you know, I really want to know that man in that photograph. I think that's pretty healthy.
What do you mean when you say that your friends had a different sense about their bodies than you did about yours?
Well, I think that they sort of felt that, you know, that they were very proud of their bodies. They really liked it. You know, that was kind of a new thing in those days for men to feel that way. You know, when a guy grows up in America, you know, he's told not to think he's handsome. He's told not to think he has a good body because that's being a real sissy.
One of your recent ads is for Obsession for Men. And the ad is of six very bronzed, naked women, men and women. And they're posed almost as if they were Greek statues. They're naked, and you see their behinds, but, you know, there's no breasts or genitals that are shown in the ad. It seemed like a very daring ad in a way. I certainly had never seen anything quite like it in a magazine before for an advertisement.
God, what do you want me to say about it? I don't know, you know? I took the picture.
It seems like you're really stretching the limits that have existed in advertising.
I really don't think so at all. I mean, I'm just out there, you know, taking photographs, you know.
But it's something new. I mean, I'd never seen that in a magazine before in an ad. Did you? I certainly hadn't.
No, I guess I hadn't, but I don't know if it's so, if they're really stretching it, I think that, you know, especially now in the time that we're living in, you know, where with AIDS and all the things going on in the world, you know, I think it's really nice for people to be able to look at something and be able to fantasize and to dream or to be able to have fun, whether it's a portrait of a girl or guy and they're nude or whether it's a beautiful car. I think it's the same thing. I think we all need that right now, you know?
Well, that's a really interesting point. Now that people are somewhat more reluctant to enter into relationships, you think it's become more important to have beautiful images to dream about?
I think so. Yeah, I really, really do think so. At least I think it is for me. You know, I think it is for the people that I'm surrounded by and that I work with. I really feel that, you know, that we want to give something back. You know, I photograph a lot of young kids all the time, all over the world, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, well, guys, you know, they can't be like me when I was like 18 or 19, you know, hanging out and, you know, having a great time all the time, you know. And I just feel that it's nice for them to be able to fantasize and like what you say, you know, have something really beautiful to look at.
Your next film is going to be a documentary about jazz trumpeter Chet Baker. This is a documentary, right? Or is it a fiction film?
No, it's a film. It's kind of a mixture of a documentary, a mystery, a musical, you know, everything. All three of those things.
So Chet Baker is in it?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
What has he meant to you? You're obviously very, you really like his music, even use some of his music in your movie about the boxers.
Right. What does Chet mean to me? Well, it's pretty hard to say. I'm in the middle of editing a film that I've been working on, you know, now for about a year. And it's pretty wild to say, answer that question, you know, because it changes every day, you know. I think one thing that he really represents to me is a man who, above all, you know, really loved his music, his jazz. I first saw Chet. I bought an album when I was like about 16 years old called Let's Get Lost, and I was standing on the corner years later in New York City and in front of Tiffany's, and it was Christmas time and it was snowing, and all of a sudden this convertible pulled up with the top down, and there was Chet sitting in the car with the tweed jacket on and his hair all slicked back and the snow coming all over inside the car. And everybody in the corner was staring at this guy, you know, in the snowstorm in a convertible. It was so beautiful, you know, that image. And ever since then, I always really felt that I wanted to photograph this man and make a film on him.
Do you like to be photographed yourself?
Oh, I hate it. hate it.
You know, earlier on in the interview, you mentioned that you used to be more self-conscious about your bodies than a lot of your friends. Being around people who are very physically attractive, has that made you any more or less self-conscious about yourself?
Well, it's funny you say that. It's an interesting point because a lot of people on my crew, you know, they'll say, oh, like if it's a girl, you know, she'll say, oh, look at all these beautiful girls. My body's not as good as theirs. I don't know. I don't really feel that so much anymore, you know, because my images of what's good looking are always changing, you know, so I can't really, like, you know, say too much about that. As also, I'm really getting interested in, and one of the reasons why I made Broken Noses, and maybe why I even called it Broken Noses 2, is that I was getting much more interested in a little bit more of a frayed beauty, you know, a beauty that's somehow been slightly damaged or slightly taken away, a little bit like Andy's and Broken Noses, and a little bit like Chet's, you know. And so I don't really compare myself in a sense anymore to, oh, like, oh, that guy has a great body. I wish I looked like that, you know, something like that. I don't really think too much about that anymore.
Bruce Weber's film Broken Noses opens November 4th at the Film Forum in New York City. It shows November 13th in Santa Monica, California, and begins a week-long run at the Castro Theater in San Francisco on December 11th.